We're going to go to Genesis chapter 6. What I want to share on tonight is change and help change the world. It was mentioned during the teachings that we can do that, and that is true. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, is a wild situation here. Look at this. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was what? Is anyone else there at this verse? This is super important, okay? Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man. You know, he's looking at the earth and all of man, and that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was what?
Only evil continually.
Think about that, if that's what was going on right now. Can you imagine such a thing? That every thought of all the people in the world, and then we'll find in a minute here that there was one that it wasn't, but all the rest of them, every thought, every imagination of their heart was what? Evil continuously, or continually. Can you imagine such a thing? They gave up on any kind of renewed mind, and they just let it go. Every thought. That must have been a terrible time to be alive, don't you think? Where it was just so whacked. Let's say that was happening today. That means wherever you would go, people would be like trying to rob you, trying to lie on you, steal from you, whatever. Just terrible, terrible, terrible. And no renewed mind whatsoever. And that must have been crazy. They were all totally conformed to the world. All of them. Totally conformed to the world. Because the adversary was the god of the world then, at that time as well. And, you know, we could all decide to lose our minds and join them, kind of. And be like the world and be totally insane. You know, there are a lot of nice people that are not believers, but unless you believe the word, that doesn't cut it. And these guys here in this record, and it's the record of Noah, they just totally conformed to the world. There was no sweetness, no love, no good thoughts, except Noah. And in go down to verse 8 and 9, I want to show you people in the word that changed the world, okay? And I want to show you these people tonight and emphasize that they were people, just like you're a people. They, you know, when you think of guys that I'm going to mention, they're just put on a pedestal so many times, and, you know, they were tremendous men and women, but they were just people like we are, and they were 12 years old or, you know, went through stuff. And they were human. They were people. So I want you to think about that as we look at this. And I'm just going to run through some of this stuff. But it's just amazing to consider that these were people. Just like we're people. We're God's people. We're God's family. And in Genesis 6, verse 8. And you know, this Noah, there's two of you here. Noah's, stand up. Look at this. Two beautiful believers right here named after this guy, Noah. So here it is, Genesis 6, verse 8. 8 and 9 and then 14. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And look at this. This is a major shout out in God's word. It says, and Noah walked with God. That is some props right there in the word of God for anybody. He walked with God. And then down to verse 14. God told him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. So what did Noah do in his life? He walked with God. And what he did was he followed God and he built this thing called an ark. There was no such thing before that. And God gave him all the dimensions and he followed God and he built an ark and he saved his family and all the animals because of the flood that covered the entire earth and every mountain by like 22 and a half feet, covered everything. Noah, by walking with God and listening to him, he changed the world because he saved the world. He saved the future of all life, human and every animal, because he walked with God. Isn't that great? He also established the concept of God's covenant with the rainbow, with humanity, and demonstrated God's power and mercy that he would never allow that to happen again. That's all Noah did. We're all related to him because the line goes back, we know, to Noah because it was him that God saved in his family. Isn't that amazing? That's Noah. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 12. A man named Abraham, who also changed the world. Abraham was a man. Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. That's Abram. Guess what he did? He believed God. Abram, and his name became Abraham in the word. What did he do in his life? He believed God in what God told him. That's what he did. He believed God. And what was the result of that? How did that change the world? He started the Israelite family, his son, and then the family as they continued on. They became the God's people, Israel. And also, he's considered the father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And he influenced the beliefs and practices of billions of people throughout time, even up till today. That's Abraham, because he believed God. And he was a man. And he was 75 years old when God spoke to him. Pretty neat. How about old Mo? Exodus 3. Exodus is, you know, named after what all took place, where they got out of Egypt. Exodus, Moses, in chapter 3, verse 4. There's a lot of detail about Moses' life. You know, he was sent down a river in a little floating little cribby. And it's pretty amazing. Adversary tried to take him out right off the get, just like Jesus Christ. And here's what it says. Exodus 3, 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside... When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, what? Here am I. God spoke to Moses. And Moses, if you know the movie, if you watch the movie, or if you know the word, that's a little better. But the movie, The Prince of Egypt, was a really sweet movie about Moses' life and how he was a prince of Egypt, and he realized he was of the Israelite family, and then he didn't like what they did to one of the slaves that they had, and he took off. And then God spoke to him. And what did he do in his life? He led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt And he received the Ten Commandments from God by revelation. And he also wrote the five books of the Bible by revelation. That's what Moses did in his life. And as a result of that, he established the concept of the law. And it shaped the beliefs and practice of all of Judaism. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's Moses. And he was a man. He was a believer, just like you and I are. Then we get to Luke chapter 1. Now, you know, we could have picked a lot of people, but I just thought of people that changed the world. Moses saved all the believers from slavery. And this Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Now this, I don't know exactly how old Mary was, but she was a teenager. She could have easily come to this youth advance if she was alive today. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, I don't know, man. That sounds crazy. You bugging, yo. No. Look at this. Look at the heart of a young teenage believer girl. When an angel spoke to her, she said, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel said, peace out. And the angel departed from her. There's nothing else to say because she believed. She said, do it. It's done. She accepted it. She believed it. She didn't argue and fight and say, ha, ha, that's funny. She did it. And what happened? Because of her meekness to the revelation or the angel, what God wanted told to her, she believed and she gave birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if she didn't believe? We wouldn't have had the Lord. God would have had to figure something else out. But she believed and raised him in the word. She raised him in the word and taught him the word. And he learned the word like a human, like we do. He had to read the word. He had to believe the word. If you think that Jesus Christ learned God's word because God told him everything on the spot, I don't think that's how he was raised at all. He learned God's word and grew in the word just like you do. And she stood with him until the end, Mary, his mother. How did that change the world? What a cool question. The promise of the coming Messiah was fulfilled, bringing joy and goodwill to all men. She helped bring to pass God's word from the promise in Genesis chapter 3. So I do want to look at, just mention here, Jesus Christ as well. Because he was a man. He was a believer, just like we are. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15. Genesis is easy to find. Very easy to find in the Bible. This is a really important verse because this is the promise. God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the promised seed of the Savior that was going to come, Jesus Christ. And because Mary believed, she brought forth a son, and that was him. And what did he do in his life? He preached the word of God He performed miracles. He taught principles of love and forgiveness, and he sacrificed himself and was crucified and died for the sins of humanity and rose from the dead the third day. That's what he did as a man. Just like human, like we are. He felt pain. When he got cut, he bled. When people said stuff, he had the opportunity for his feelings to be hurt. He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. That's why he was a perfect savior. He could have blown it easily and not been a perfect savior. But he was, and he was a man. But you know what's so amazing? God doesn't expect us to be perfect. That's why he sent him, so that we could believe on him and have a perfect spirit within us. So how did this change the world? Dramatically. He saved the world. He made it available for man to be saved. He enabled people to be born again and have spirit within by simply believing. He enabled us to be sons of God and have eternal life and be seated at the right hand of God with him. He became the head of the church, the body. He acquired a name above all names, and every knee shall bow one day, every single one, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christianity became one of the world's major religions, shaping all of Western civilization, influencing cultures around the globe, and he will return in like manner as he went up when he ascended for our hope of the gathering together. That's all Jesus Christ did and how he changed the world. That was called sarcasm. He was a man, you see. When I was younger, I was like, oh, big deal. He was like the Son of God. He could do anything. I was like, but you got to put it in perspective. He was raised in the Word like a lot of you have been raised in the Word. He had to believe the Word and put it on and get to the place where he walked with God. When he was 12 years old, what was he doing? That's right. There's a record in the Word about it. He was talking to doctors and lawyers, hearing and answering questions. 12 years old. That's one of the beautiful reasons why this advance starts at 12 years old. Because Jesus Christ was 3 days away from his parents, you know, hanging out, doing stuff. Amazing, right? That's our Lord and Savior. Then you have Peter, Mark chapter 4. Let's see how Peter helped change the world. You know, it would be so cool if these guys could come up here and share like Esme did, like Caleb did, like Shannon did and the others. Imagine if these guys could come up here and share with you for like 2-3 minutes about what they did in their life. They were people. Just like we are. We're God's people today here on this earth. You. So great. Mark 4:19. Who wants to read this verse? Tim.
Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches.
Is that the right verse?
Mark. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have said Matthew. My bad. Some people hate when people say, my bad. Will you forgive me, Tim? Thank you. Matthew 4:19.
Okay, Matthew 4:19. And he said unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Yeah. That's what Jesus Christ told Peter. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He was one of Jesus' disciples. And he became a leader in the Christian church. This guy was bold and brave, and he was present on the day of Pentecost and spoke in tongues and helped oversee the birth of the Christian church. That's what he did when he was alive as a believer. How did that change the world? He was the first to preach God's word to the Gentiles, and they spoke in tongues. He was the first one to speak God's word to non-Israelites, non-Jewish people, and they spoke in tongues. This initiated the changing of culture for the Jews to accept the Gentiles into the family of God That's what Peter was there for, that. He played a crucial role in spreading the message of Christianity throughout the world. He was one of Jesus Christ's apostles. That's Peter. How about Paul? Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 15. It says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And remember, Jesse shared all about that, how Paul persecuted the church. So Jesus had to have a little meeting with him. The Lord had to have a little meeting with him. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness unto light." Man, that's like what Esme was talking about. "And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's what the Lord told Paul. Holy moly. That's pretty deep. Paul was a Jewish man. He was a convert to Christianity in his life. And you know what he did. But he was meek to this word of the Lord that he received by revelation here of God, that God wanted him to know about his life. And he was able to write many of the books of the New Testament by revelation. He's why we have the book of Romans, where it's written. He received that revelation to be not conformed to this world. Paul did. He wrote by revelation the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. He wrote the book of Ephesians. It's crazy. And Philippians and Colossians. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. That's some revelation right there. And he traveled extensively, establishing churches and spread God's word throughout the then known world. He was responsible for moving God's word over Asia Minor in 2 years and 3 months. He was a man. He gave us these letters, these epistles that we wouldn't have, you know. They're written from his spirit, God speaking to him. And he wrote this in his vernacular, in his personality, whatever the case may be. You know, when you read God's word, it's different vernaculars and personalities because of the person that received the revelation. He was instrumental in shaping and establishing Christianity as a worldwide faith. And we still read his and are inspired by his writings today, like we are at this advance. That's great. And there are many, many others, hundreds of others, of people who, throughout time, who have changed the world and influenced the world and the way it is. And in recent history, there's one I want to mention. A lot of you know who he is. I don't know if any of you have met him or saw him speak the word a lot while he was alive, but it's Victor Paul Werwol. He also was a great man that helped change the world. What he did was, and honestly, none of us would be here today if it wasn't for him. Do you realize that? You younger guys, you need to know this. If it wasn't for Dr. Victor Paul Werwol, you would not be here. I guarantee you that. And we would not have the word rightly divided like we know it today if it wasn't for this man. And what he did was he was in the word, and God promised him that he would teach him God's word like it hadn't been known since the first century church, if he, Victor Poruelo, would teach it to others. That's what God told him. And it lit him up. And he continued to learn God's word, to dig in it, to learn it, to where he studied it, and God taught him stuff, and the Bible opened up to him. God would show him wonderful things because he would teach it to others, even if it was one person on the phone when he first started doing that. And he learned and taught that the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. That the integrity of God's word is an important thing, to keep the integrity of it. You don't add to it, take away from it, or change it. He taught how the Bible interprets itself. These are the things he did in his life because of that revelation he got. He taught that the Bible interprets itself, that believing equals receiving, that all about body, soul, and spirit. He taught about the renewed mind and how it's the key to power. He opened up the Holy Spirit field, about the 9 manifestations to every believer. He taught how to speak in tongues, and that we can. He taught that the mystery has been revealed, that it's God and Christ in you. He taught about the believer's perfect stand before God, and he taught about the hope of Christ's return. These are the major topics that he covered in his life. And how did that change the world? Well, it opened up God's word like it hadn't been known since the first century church. Because in no book could you find, or any preacher, or any church, or any other believer talking about the mystery being revealed, that it's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was like in the Bible, and you could read all about it, but it was covered, it was hidden, it was like buried. You ever bury something, and it's like hidden? That's what the mystery was, until this man taught it again and brought it to light. He was an apostle, because he taught God's word and brought new light to a new generation, or the light that was written, but brought it to new people. He showed believers how the Bible interprets itself, and how we today, and he's not here, right? But we have the word that he taught. We don't worship him. That's a ridiculous thought. We believe the word he shared, the same word that he shared. And he taught us how the Bible interprets itself, so we know how to read God's word, how to rightly divide it, how to be born again, how to live and love like a believer, how to manifest God's power, how to live life more than abundant, and how to renew our minds. He taught us how to move God's word, about having individual fellowships in the home like they did in the book of Acts, not starting up a big new church, but to have small fellowships in the home. These are the things he taught us, and we teach the same. So this guy was a recent one. You know, he's not written in the word, but neither are we written in the word, you know, by name as a person. But we're believers, and you can help change the world too. That's my point. And you might say, oh, Dean, those guys were way better than me, and they were just amazing people, and you might have them on a pedestal in your mind, right? I would think if we would have told them these things, you know, and I have to exclude Jesus Christ from that one, because he was the only perfect human being that ever lived, okay? So he gets that exception. But if you talk to any one of these people, I ventured to you, they would have said the same thing. No way. Me? Psh, come on. Abraham and his wife both laughed at the revelation of what they were supposed to do when they first heard it. If you want to read about it some other time, it's in Genesis chapter 17, verses 16 and 17, and Genesis 18, 12. They laughed at it, the idea that they were going to have a baby. And rightfully so. He was like 1,000 years old. No, he was like 100 and she was 90. So, and then Moses' reaction when God talked to him was, what? I can't even speak. And God said, who made your mouth? You know? That's in Exodus 4:10 and 11. Mary How sweet. She was a willing servant when she heard about it. And Peter, well, Jesus Christ, even though he was perfect, he still said, there's none good but God. No. And Peter, he, Jesus Christ said to his face, get thee behind me, Satan, to Peter. Like we heard, he denied Jesus, didn't he? We did hear that, didn't we?
Yeah.
He was that guy. And then Paul, he was someone who said, sinners of whom I am chief, and less than the least of all saints, he said. Yet he received some of the greatest revelation that we know in the books of the Bible. These were men. And Dr. Worrell, you know what he has written on his tombstone? He said, he wanted written on there, I wish I were the man I know to be. So any one of us can absolutely help change this world. Any one of us. Because the hand of God on our life changes everything. And we have God's word that we could renew our mind to it. So I ask you, can you believe?
Yes.
That's all Abraham did. He believed, and Noah, he walked with God. Can you walk with God?
Yes.
Only some of you?
Yes.
Can you walk with God?
Yes.
Awesome. Can you be a servant?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? Are you willing to make mistakes and still stand on the word?
Yes.
And not puss out?
Yes.
Good. Are you willing to accept God's grace over your life?
Yes.
Because that's what it's going to take. Are you willing to renew your mind to God's word?
Yes.
Are you willing to speak God's word?
Yes.
Awesome. Then get ready, because you're going to help change this world. And that's how we do it, by sharing God's word, helping people's minds get renewed to the truth of God's word. That changes things. It changes the outcome of situations. It changes people's lives altogether, because we open our mouth and share the truth of God's word with them. You can absolutely help change this world. God is looking for people willing to walk with him. That's it. Remember, he's not going to force anybody to do anything. We just are willing to. We can control our minds to his word, whether it's written in the Bible, because there's a lot written to us that we need to renew our minds to, or whether we receive revelation somehow. It's the same God. It's the same word. And of course, if you ever see revelation to do something whacked, how do you know the difference? That's right. It lines up with the word. God will never give you revelation that's at cross purposes with God's word. Okay? That's coming from the other God. It's a lie. And how do you know it's from God's word? You need to see the word in your life, and then you know. I think the untold secret in the world is that the last thing the adversary wants us to believe is that we can do anything. That's the last thing he wants. That you would actually believe that you can change the world. That's the last thing the adversary wants. And I love that I'm blowing up his spot right now. I love it. It's the last thing he wants you to believe, that you can change the world. Holy moly. God is sending his son at any moment, and we're out of here. But until then, we could make this world a better place. God's word could move like it's never moved before in the history of the world. God's word can prevail because people believe it. Just like it prevailed the other way back in Genesis, where every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. It's available for God's word to prevail in this world today. Show me different in the word. That's why he gave us his word, so that we could speak it. That's why he gave us this ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile others back to God. That's how we change the world, with his word. And we renew our minds and help others to do the same. It's the last thing the adversary wants. You know, we heard that we can do all things from Patty earlier. We can do what God's word says we can do. Man, God himself. You know, we say, oh, all those guys, God spoke to them. God speaks to us through his word, through the manifestations of tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, and God can reveal to you word of knowledge and word of wisdom. It's no different. God can still speak to his people, you. And that's available to receive God's word by way of these awesome things. Remember, God is no respecter of age or persons. Well, persons first, right? But age. And if you're a kid and you're like, oh, maybe when I'm older. Come on, man. You're a born-again believer. God can speak to you. And if you believe, you can do whatever God's word says he needs you to do. We can help change the world one person at a time. And the first person is, guess who? You and me. Isn't that great? By you changing your mind right now to God's word, we're changing the world. That's pretty awesome. That's that great verse, our theme verse, that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. So great. And you know, that's, I thought about this even more, how I'm an architect, and I think in, you know, pictures and dimensions. It's always about what dimensions. Well, the caterpillar, I saw the girls looking for them little in the puddles and stuff. They only can operate in two dimensions, this way and that way on the floor, on the ground. But a butterfly can do stuff in three dimensions. It's just pretty neat to just the change, the total change. And we can be like that with God. You know, the reason why we would change our minds to God's word is because of God's goodness. Somebody read that verse. It's the word repent in that verse. I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Or despisest thou the riches or his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? Repentance is the change of the mind. But why would we want to even change our minds? It's because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. And how good is God?
Very good.
Jesus Christ said there's none good but God. He's so good. We take care of our minds like we take care of our body. Well, and it's an analogy, similar to how we take care of our bodies. Would you like to eat rocks for breakfast?
No.
How about we get a bunch of rocks by the gravel and some big ones over by Pebble Beach and serve that for breakfast? Or we can go dig in the trash from last Thursday when we had dinner and pull out some trash and serve it on the plates for everybody to eat. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
No.
Well, what do you feed your minds? We take care of our minds similar to how we take care of our bodies. What do you feed your mind? Because you know what? You decide what you put in your mouth unless your mother and father still feed you. Do they? Oh, come over, let me use the airplane. And there's like a rock on there. No. What do we feed our minds with? We should feed our minds with the best. And if you don't like what you've been feeding your mind, cut it from your diet. Don't feed it that anymore. Take care of your mind. It's a precious place. It's where the word of God is believed. So we take care of our minds, you know. And somebody else read Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that it, I think Albert mentioned it. If God's word says it, it has to be available. So we can have the mind of Christ because it's written in the word what he thought. Isn't that amazing that we can think the thoughts Christ had? He thought his word. He believed the word. He read, he knew the books of the Old Testament. The other ones weren't written yet. But he knew that word of God. Just like we can. Yeah, it's just so great, some of this stuff. How we can change the world. Do you believe you can change the world?
Yes.
You can. It's so exciting. You know, this world should not be allowed to change us. We shouldn't allow it to change us. The conforming part, I did it one time many years ago. I worked at a place where there was terracotta clay. It was a place that built cool things. And I took a chunk of it home. And it's clay, it's wet clay. And I rolled it into a ball and I shaped it into some things. So I brought it in front of the fellowship and I said, this is being conformed. I took this ball and I started shaping the clay into like a vase. I said, this is what I want it to be. And I shaped it. And then I broke it up and shaped it into something else. That's conforming, just being pressed on by the outside, molding your life. But what God does is he transforms us from within. We're transformed from within, not from the outside. Isn't that beautiful? It's like another dimensional whole thing going on. It's just amazing. So, you know, the reason for all of this stuff of life is that God loved the world. God loved the whole world. And he gave his son for the whole world. And that includes us. And this love of God, I want to talk about that for a minute, okay? Concerning all that's wrong in the world. Jesus Christ did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world, didn't he? Yeah. So nor should we condemn the world. Interesting, right? He's our brother. He's our greatest example. We have a message of something great, the greatest news ever, that Christ got up. So criticizing, condemning is not how we're going to change the world. It's not going to work. Even though it might seem sort of logical or whatever, that's not how it's going to work. Correcting is not going to get, you know, correcting people into being born again is not going to work either. We speak the truth. The good news that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. About God's love and his heart. We show that. And we have to get that word to people to get it done. Of how good he is. Of how he gave his son. And then people will change because they will get born again. That's how we do it. If you want the world to be a little sweeter place, put a little more sugar in it, baby. Do you like your oatmeal without brown sugar or with brown sugar?
With brown sugar.
Okay, then. Put a little love in it. Put a little more love in this world. You can love with the love of God. Yes, little old you. You have the little love engine going on in your heart. It is turned on. I could love somebody. I could tell somebody something good and love them up. Absolutely, it can come out of you, not because you were pressed on, but from within the love of God, God in Christ in you, God working in you, you can pour out God's love on somebody's life and change their life. You want the world to be a sweeter place? Put a little sugar in it, baby. You love people into loving. You don't hate or shame people into loving. You don't use God's word as a club to knock people out, because you can easily. You're going to hell, sinner! There are some crazy-ass Christians doing that kind of stuff, and that sucks. That's religion. Run away from it. Don't ever be like that. You love people into loving. That's what's going to change the world. You can all do that. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, you can. So, you absolutely can. We're going to close in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The nickname of this chapter is the Love Chapter. In 1 Corinthians 13, this word charity, okay, is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. It's important to know that this word charity means that. It's agape, this word charity. It's love. But it's the love of God in manifestation, working. It's in the renewed mind. So whatever's going on, you can walk with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. You're walking in love. You're actually loving. You're actually doing it. That's what this is about, okay? And it says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you speak in tongues of men or of angels and you don't have the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, it's just like tinkling cymbals. If I had a drum set, I'd tinkle it right now. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, I am what?
Nothing.
How important is it then? Because if you could do those things, man, if you had all knowledge, you knew everything, you were ChatGPT. That you had all the faith and the believing that you can actually remove mountains, that would be incredible believing. But if you did it without the love of God, God's opinion is that that is nothing. So how important is the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation? Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, you know, in service, I burn out all the time for people, and have not charity, this love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, it profiteth me what? It's not worth doing any of it. It's not worth doing God's service if it's not with the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. It's just not worth it. It's nothing. It's not going to be good. It's going to give off ill. You know what I mean? But when something's done with love, when someone cooks a meal with the love of God, you eat that food and it's delicious, isn't it? We do everything out of love and with love in the renewed mind, working in manifestation. And then, you know, the rest of this, it goes on, but this is so important. And I wanted to close with that because we should love each other up so much and take care of each other. And when you walk with the love of God, you're thinking, God, how could I bless this person? And then you have that connection with God and he can, by way of manifestation, show you exactly what to do for them. It all starts with the love of God and speaking in tongues. And man, God has so much to work with there. So I ask you these questions and you answer in your heart. Don't scream out loud, whatever. You answer in your heart to God who's present with us right now, okay? Do you believe God? And I'm going to say this, not can you, because I know you can, all right? It's are you. Are you going to be meek to God and his word? Moses was the meekest upon the face of the earth when God was talking to him. Are you going to be a servant of God in your life? Because you don't have to be. You could serve yourself and try to become a billionaire in this world. Or you could serve God and maybe still be a billionaire. I don't know. Are you going to make mistakes and still stand on the word? Big ones, whoppers, huge ones. Are you going to accept God's grace in your life when you do make mistakes? because you will. We will. I got to include myself in all of this, and I do, believe me. Are you going to speak God's word in your life? And are you going to renew your mind to God and his word in your life? Because those are the things that'll change us, and those are the things that are going to change the world.